It's good on a brisk morning to sing a song briskly. Trying to get everything in order up here. I'm not sure. Here we go. On your way out of the auditorium this morning, in either one of the foyers, there will be a copy of the new budget for 2018. If you'd like to pick one of those up and look it over, you'll be able to see all that the money is planned for and all that we will be doing for the coming year, and plus other things that we're not yet aware of. Our new budget for weekly budget for next week, the last year was $36,000 a week, and this year that we're currently in is going to be $37,500 a week. If you look on the board, you'll notice that as we ended the year last year, our budget for each week was $36,000, and our average contribution per week was $43,588. During the course of the year, we'll go up and down. Been a few weeks in the year when we were below that, but especially toward the end of the year with the end of the year contributions and other things, that we were able to exceed that and go beyond it. Very generous congregation, and I wanted us to talk today about God's giving people, and that's exactly what God's people are, and we most certainly have a number of them here with us at River Chase. I want to tell you some stories, then I want us to read some verses together, and I'll have those verses on the screen. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and from there all the way through Revelation, and the example continues on into today. That God's people have always been giving people. The offering that Abel gave is one of the first examples in the early parts of the book of Genesis. And that offering that he gave was of the very firstlings of his flock, meaning the very best, the firstborn, and the very best that he had to offer. And also the fat portions. He offered the very best of those offerings with regard to what he gave. In comparison to Cain, who brought of the fruit of the ground, saying nothing about quality and nothing about being the best of what he offered. And then the key all for Abel's sacrifice, or for Abel's offering, was what is stated about it in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, that by faith he offered a better, a more pleasing, a more acceptable offering than his brother Cain did. And that faith can cover both aspects of what Abel did with regard to his offering. He offered the very best and he offered the first. And that was what was characteristic of what he offered in comparison to what Cain did. Where did Abel learn that? Learned that from his parents. God offered the first sacrifice in order to give them skins to dress in. But evidently from the practice of these two brothers, their two sons, sacrifice to God and offerings to God were a regular part of Adam and Eve's life as well. Abraham, when he comes to Melchizedek after the battle when he rescues Lot, the Bible will tell us that he gives a tenth of all that he has to Melchizedek and giving a tenth to God. The Bible will tell us the generosity of Abraham was such that he entertained angels without knowing they were angels. He simply saw three men walking across the field near his property and insisted they come and eat with him and spend time with him, which they did. And he later found out that they were angels when he didn't have any idea nor clue of who they were. And then we see Abraham's generosity in connection with his nephew, Lot, when he allows Lot to choose the land that he wants to live in. And he takes whatever is left over. And the generosity of Abraham is typical of the people of God, not only at the very beginning, but all the way through. Boaz and the poor. God instructed the children of Israel to do this. There's indications not all of them did. But here is a man, Boaz, who did. When it was harvest time, he opened up his fields to the poor people for them to walk along behind his harvesters. And those that were harvesting would take the initial grain and then walk away. And those that were poor would come behind and take what was left. And he told his harvesters to particularly take care of Ruth, to even cut some sheaves and leave them for her in order that she might be able to gather all that she and her mother-in-law might need. And Boaz was another example of those people that give because they're God's people. David is one of them. So many examples of David. When he wanted to buy a property in order to place the tabernacle of God or the tent of God and eventually the temple of God, he offered the man money and the man refused, saying, I will give you the land. You may have it. David makes the comment to him, I will not give to my father. I will not give to my God that which cost me nothing. And the generosity of David. And you see it in different aspects of his life, but probably the one, the better known, is when he takes in Mephibosheth because he wants to do something to honor his friend Jonathan who has passed away. And so he takes in Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, and has him to live with him for the rest of his life, provides for him his meals, and takes care of him all the rest of the time that he is living. All of this is done by the people of God, not only through the Old Testament, but all the way through into the New Testament. Look at these verses. We'll start with this one in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. Actually, these three verses go in succession to each other. And this first one is in the Proverbs. The next one will be in Psalms. But in Proverbs chapter 21, verses 25 through 26, the Bible says this: the desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. Two entirely different principles of life lived by individuals whose outcome is entirely different and whose blessings from them are entirely different. The sluggard, the way he lives, is going to kill him because all day long he's craving, but he never satisfies his craving because he refuses to work. And in comparison to him who's always thinking about himself, the sluggard, and always desiring somebody to be giving to him, there's the righteous who gives and does not hold back. And his life is filled with blessings. And then there's this one. David writes, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and he lends, and his descendants are a blessing. The way it describes the very people of God when David writes this. And then this one. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. The thief is no longer to be taking, but instead he is now to be working with his own hands. And one of the purposes for working with his own hands is not only to satisfy his needs and his family's needs, but so that also he will have something to share. No longer taking, but now giving. No longer taking from others, but now sharing with others, so that he may have something to share with those who are in need. 1 John 3:17. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? God's giving people because they are like God. Because God gives. God gives to those that love him and to those that don't. And because our God is a giving God, his people, having a heart like him and a mind like him, become giving people. And this congregation at River Chase is most certainly one of those groups of people. As you look through this sheet, and you look it over and try to figure out all the different aspects of it, just notice how much benevolence we are doing to our members here especially, but then also to others. But then take a look at the missions. We get updates just about on a monthly basis from Jayapal in India. And one of the things that is emphasized to us in those updates from Jayapal is how constantly this congregation is remembered in the prayers that are offered there. I've been invited, and the elders have given me permission, Lord willing, in May, I will be going to Jos, Nigeria, to take part in their graduation ceremonies. One of the reasons for that is I was there for the first one, and Solomon Agu, the president, is retiring. He is turning the reins over to Tom Ekpot, and Solomon, when he was here, almost insisted, "You were there at the beginning, and I want you to be there when I retire, so I want you to come." And so the elders have permitted. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. Those students at that school will, in all of their prayers, make mention of you, make mention of the church in Gadsden, and make mention of the other churches that are helping to support that school to be able to spread the gospel all over the world. It is almost unbelievable to go to different parts of the world, and every one of us who've traveled to different parts of the world and visited the people that we support, whether it's in Scotland, whether it's in Africa, whether it's down to South America, wherever it is, to hear this congregation talked about in congregations all over the world and prayed for in congregations all over the world. It's what we are doing in helping people and in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to be aware of that. I'd love for you to pick up one of the budgets. Take a look at it and look it over and see exactly what you are doing throughout the world. God's giving people. Let's make it our point to do good to those that are in need, to give to those that need help, so that we can be exactly the people God would have us to be. There may be some here this morning who are ready to come back to Christ. There may be some here this morning who are ready to put Christ on in baptism. If you're ready to become a Christian, you need to come home to Christ. We want to offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.